right. And how many knows we get to make choices every day? There was a lot of choices made this morning. And what you got on was a choice you made on what you was going to wear. You being here was a choice that you made to be in church. And when you leave here, you're going to make a choice on where you're going to go eat. And so all day long, you're going to be flooded with choices. All day long. Amen. For the rest of our lives. And the thing about it is, we got to learn to choose right. Make the right choices in our lives. And so many times we don't make the right choices. And I remember too long ago. I don't remember which one of my grandsons it was, but they were pretty little. And if you offered them a $5 bill, and if you had four quarters and you said, which one do you want? He'd take the four quarters because it looked like there was more. Because he didn't understand the value of the $5 bill compared to four quarters that made a dollar. And the thing about it is, because he was a kid. Let me say, kids or children make choices based usually on what they see or what they want. And I'm telling you something, that's why we have to grow up as Christians so we make the right choices in our lives based upon what's best for us and for our family and for our lives. And basically based upon the Word of God. I wrote this down, what you choose today will affect you tomorrow. What you choose today will affect you tomorrow. And I want to go to Proverbs chapter 3 real quick. Proverbs chapter 3, and I want to start with verse 5. Proverbs 3:5. And it says this, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, that's important. Because sometimes our understanding or our reasoning literally robs us from the blessings of God. Because we'll look at things and say, well, you know, I really can't do this, or I should. Now, listen, I think we ought to use wisdom as adults and such as that. I think sometimes we don't use wisdom when we make our choices and such as that. And our want-tos are greater than our ability, our willingness to restrain ourselves. But he said, you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. He says, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Listen, you need to acknowledge God in everything you do and get His direction on what you're about to do. I know a couple just told me the other day there was just a step out in some endeavors this new year that they were kind of uncomfortable with in themselves. And I told him, I said, well, you know, first of all, you need to be led by peace. Don't make, you know, sometimes we jump into things I wish we hadn't after we jumped into it. And then it's kind of too late. Then we have the responsibility of doing our obligations. And so we need to acknowledge him. And he said he'll direct your paths. And how many knows he'll always lead you down the paths of righteousness? Always righteousness. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. It sounds like God wants us to be blessed. It sounds like He wants us to acknowledge Him and not try to figure it out on our own. Right? Now, I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I talked about this one Wednesday night, but so many of you weren't here Wednesday night. You know, Wednesday night was it was a stormy night or rainy night. Wasn't it Wednesday that we got all that rain?
Yes.
And, but praise God we had a good attendance and a very good, actually attendance for it to be so. Actually, we had people shutting their, closing their churches, because of that. And I always tell this church, and I'll tell it again for some of you that didn't hear it. Listen, I want you to be safe. I don't expect you to drive, get on them roads if it's going to be hazardous to you or something like that. But I tell you what, it's going to take a whole lot for these doors to be shut. If I can be here, I'm going to be here. And my good thing, I got a four-wheel drive vehicle, so I can drive where some of you can't. And now if it's icy or something, you don't even have to call me and ask me if we're having church. I'll have people, are we having church tonight? Listen, we woke up on one April, and it was snow everywhere. And that's unusual in Central Texas, but we had about 4 or 6 inches of snow on the ground. And I looked out there on Sunday morning and I thought, oh wow, I wonder if anybody be at church. We got to church and we had a full house on that Sunday morning. Of course, the roads weren't bad. And so, you know, the thing about it is use wisdom on that. But I tell you what, it's going to be very seldom we ever close this church because it's raining. And so, but anyway, use wisdom and keep you and your family safe. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're going to start reading with verse 11, and we're going to read in the New Living Translation. And it says this, "This command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it's not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey. It is not kept beyond the sea so far away that you must ask who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey. No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster." Now this is the Holy Ghost speaking. Do y'all believe that? This is God speaking. And he said, today I'm going to give you a choice. How many knows God gives us choices just like every other things? There's a lot of things that on your jobs, people will give you a choice. You can either do this or you can do that. And you got to make the choice on which you think is going to be best for you at that particular time. And so he said, I'm going to place before you a choice that you get to make between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. Now, you'd be surprised. Why would he give that choice? Did you know some people will pick the death? Some people will pick the destruction. Am I right? We know our disaster. He said, for I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if you turn your hearts away, you will refuse to listen. And if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you're crossing to the Jordan to occupy. Now, verse 19 says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Did you know heaven and earth witnesses every choice that we make? You get to make the choice. Heaven's going to witness it. We're witnessing it. And it says, I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, now listen to what it says. I love this. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Isn't that great? Here he is. He said, I make a choice, but I'm telling you what I want you to do. I want you to choose life. How many likes life? Did you know if you choose God, you choose life because God is life? And so you make the right choices. You make the choice when it says before you. There's a lot of choices presented to us every single day. And I'm telling you, we have to make the right choices. Amen. It says you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Listen, we're living in a land right now, aren't we? Yeah. And we can live a long, satisfied life if we just say, listen, God, we want to make the right choices. That's the reason I read Proverbs chapter 3 on leaning not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Because listen to me, there's times when choices are presented to us that we need to pray about them. Am I right? You need to pray about them. I mean, sometimes, listen, I've had people in the church years ago and such as that, and I'm just saying this for this reason, because I've seen so many of them make the wrong choices in their life, and basically they chose disaster. They chose disaster. They didn't choose life. We had a couple of years ago that was coming to this church, and they seemed to be had a happy marriage, everything going good for them, had a job here in town, and he was offered just like a dollar or so an hour more to move away and go somewhere else. Well, his choice was to take that dollar, and he lost his family. He lost his family. Disaster. Listen, it pays to pray and to seek God about the choices. Sometimes, listen, let me say this. If you're pressured to make a choice, you better think about it. You better make sure you're giving thought to that choice that you're about to make. And you have to weigh out all the areas in your life. You have to weigh them out. What's this going to do for my kids? What's this going to do for my family? What's this going to do for my life? And you pray those things out. Listen, if somebody tries to make you make a choice and you say, let me just pray about it real quick or a little bit. And if they say you don't have time to pray, then that's a pretty good sign. You might need to just hold off. Yeah. Am I right? Make the right choice. He said, I present to you life and death, or death and curses and blessings. So we might as well enjoy the life and the blessings. Amen. How many's enjoy the blessings today? Well, it can't get nothing but do nothing but get better. Amen. You know, we're in Joshua, and I'm going to let Junior jump that up there. Joshua 24, 14 and 15, in the New Living Translation, if you will. Junior, can you jump that up there real quick? I don't have to turn there. That was it. It says, so fear the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped. When you lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, serve the Lord alone. Verse 15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But notice what Joshua said. He said, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. In other words, my choice is to serve God. You can serve who you want to serve. One thing I have learned over the years, I have no control over the choices that other people make. Amen. Amen. You know, you might want to make them, but listen to me. It's always good to at least encourage people on the right choices. Amen. At least they have an option. Thank you for your enthusiasm on this wonderful, wonderful new year. I'm telling you, choices you make every single day. Amen. I want to go to, if you will, I'm going to skip 1 Kings 18, but we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Since we're talking about choosing right. And I'm going to be, let's see. I think I'm going to stay in the New King James, Junior, the New King James. It says, now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great an honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet. Now listen to what he said, were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the little girl who is from the land of Israel. Now, what did he tell the king? He said, there's a prophet in Samaria that if I go to him, he'd heal him. Isn't that right? He said what the girl said, if there's a prophet. Now, look what happened. The king of Syria said, go now and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of the clothes. And then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you that you may heal him of his leprosy. Is that what the girl said? No. The girl said the prophet, not the king. So here's what's happening. He's getting, he went to his king, which he had to, his superior. And he sent him somewhere else, not where God instructed, but where he instructed. So he went to the king, and the king, he was like, what do you mean? Notice, in fact, look what the king said in verse 7. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. He didn't like it at all. Why? Because he couldn't do it. That wasn't where God told him to go. But yet he went where he was told to go and went to the king. But listen to this. This story turns out all right. It don't look like it's going to, but it's going to turn out all right. You ever had a story in your life didn't look like it turned out good, but it wound up turning out good? But I guarantee you, in that story that turned out good, it's because there had to be some changes made along the way. Because sometimes when you start out on the wrong foot, have you ever heard anybody say, well, I guess I just start out on the wrong foot? Huh? Well, what's the right foot start out on? The right foot. Huh? The purpose of God's the right foot to start out on. And notice what it says. So it was when Elisha, which Elisha was the prophet the little girl was talking about, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, and he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. In other words, he thought, well, I'm trying to get this. I want this. Listen, there's a lot of people that are wanting things so bad in their lives. They need it. And he needed it. He was a leper. How many knows what lepers do? They wind up dying of leprosy as it's eating their body away. And so he finally gets from the king, which was not the place to go, finally headed to the prophet where the right place to go. And said, Elisha, he went out and he said, please let him come to me. He shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. And obviously they gave the message to Naaman. And it said, then Naaman went with his horses and chariot and stood at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you and you shall be clean. Woohoo! There's my answer. There's my answer. Huh? You know, you'd think somebody would get excited if they gave you the answer to your healing. Gave you the answer for success. Huh? And think about it. Elisha didn't even go see him, but he said, tell him to come to me. And so Elisha, listen to me. Here's the deal. And I thought about this last night as I was reading it. I thought, here's Elisha. This man's probably praying, which he was a praying man. We know that because of what happened on Mount Carmel, and he was praying, and God brought rain. He prayed, and God shut the heavens up, and there was no rain or dew on the land for 3.5 years, and he prayed again. In fact, in James, it relates us to Elisha being just an ordinary man, that when he prayed, things happened. And so here, he goes in there, and Elisha don't come out, but Elisha obviously, listen, you don't go send Gehazi, which was his servant, to the door and say, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be clean without hearing God tell him that. Do you believe God gave him those instructions? Just like Jesus said, the things I say, I hear my Father say. The things I do, I see my Father do. So my words are his words, my doings are his doings. And I'm telling you, Elisha sent that word out to him. Now, here's the deal. When that word came to Naaman, here's my message. He had to make a choice. He had to make a choice. Now notice what he did. It says this in, but Naaman, listen to what it says, but Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, listen, you better be careful what you say to yourself. Man, you'll talk yourself into something or you'll talk yourself out of something. You hearing what I'm saying? And he said to himself, he's talking to himself, he's mad. He's mad, but listen, he don't even know the prophet, so he can't be mad at the prophet. He was mad at the word he gave him. The word he gave him, Elijah, was from God. He was mad at the word. He didn't want to do that, and so he got upset, said to himself, now look, notice what he said to himself. Isn't it neat that we get to hear what he said to himself? I am so glad some people can't hear what I say to myself. Aren't you? I'm glad I'm not a mind reader. Huh? You probably think, I wish I could read their mind. No, you don't. You don't want to read their mind. Trust me. Praise God. I'm not saying all people's minds are bad, and they aren't, but I tell you what, the devil does throw some things through there. Don't he?
Yeah.
But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. But here's what happened. He had a preconceived idea of what was going to happen. Here he set it up in his mind. This is how it's going to happen. Listen to me. We'll get in a lot of trouble when we're already trying to figure out how God's going to do something. Well, God's going to use them or God's going to use them or God's going to do that. I think God's telling you to give me $100. You better be careful. Huh? It don't work that way too much. Huh? Now, you may wish they would give you $100 from time to time. You may wish they would do that, but I'm telling you something, it don't always work that way. But he had already figured out this is how God's going to do it, and this is how the prophet's going to do it, and it did not happen that way. So it made him mad. Listen, if you're not careful, when things don't happen the way you think they're going to happen, you'll get upset. And most of the people you get mad, the one that gets the most brunt of it is God.
Right. Amen.
Am I right? It's God. Because I've been serving you, God, forever. I've been going to church every time the doors are open. I serve you. I work in it. I do all these things. I tithe, I offer, and everything else. And you just bless them people over there. You're to rejoice with them. In other words, we can't look for God to do what He wants to do for us based on our merits. See, we're saved by grace. Listen to what he said, are not the Abana. Now listen to me, I find out he really didn't mind getting in a river. He didn't want in that river. Right? Because he says, are the Abana or the Parfer, are the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. It sounds to me like he also had some prejudices against the Jews. Because he didn't want to go to the Jordan. So there was issues going on in Naaman's life. But notice what happens. And you know, I read this last night and I've never really even paid no attention to this next verse. And it says, his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? And you know, that scripture just jumped out at me last night because obviously the servants that was following him had great respect and honor for him because they said, my father. They obviously loved him. He must have been a good leader, one that loved and cared about them and was nice and kind to them, obviously, because here's why I thought that. Because leprosy will kill you. And if he was that bad, why would they want him healed? I mean, how much longer do you think he's got? Maybe this will kill him in about 6 months. We sure, ooh, he made the right choice. He's going to go home. He ain't going to do what the prophet said. So he's got, no, they went to him and said, my father. Listen, people who love you, listen to this. People who love you are trying to steer you the right direction. People who love you will always want what's best for you. Am I right? People who love you, they'll always want what's best for you. I think sometimes kids, when they get up a certain age, they don't realize their parents are just wanting the best for them by what they say and tell them. And so, you know, loved ones will always try to make you make the right choice in your life. And I thought that was so neat. So notice what he did. He made a choice to actually walk away from what the prophet said. But through the encouragement of some loved ones, he changed his choice. Aren't we glad we can change our choice? Come on, somebody. You can change your choice. Well, I chose this, but praise God, sometimes it's just not too late to change it. And so what he did is the Bible says he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan. And this is exactly what the prophet told him to do. Go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. So he went down, dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a child, and he was clean. He wound up making the right choice. He chose right. Now he started out making the wrong choice. Am I right? But when he finally made the right choice and did what the Word of God said, you know, I've always preached this from the standpoint of obedience. And choices is obeying. The right choices is obeying. And so when he made the right choice, guess what? He lived. And he was clean when he made the right choice. So when he said, I set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Well, basically, this was what was set before Naaman. Life or death, blessing or curses. And he wound up making the right choice. Has anybody ever had, you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to point to nobody or nothing like that. Has anybody ever had to repent of the choices you made? We all have. We have all had to repent and say, God, I'm sorry, I blew it. You know what's so wonderful about God? He's a forgiver. He's a forgiver. One thing about it, God, here's what, there's nobody that loves you more than God. Nobody that loves you more than Jesus. Nobody. It don't matter. There's not nobody in a fleshly body that loves you more than God does. And I'm telling you what, He has given us 66 books in the Bible of instructions and choices that we can make. And I'm telling you, He'll just tell you what choice you are to make, or He'll just present it to you and He just say, there it is. There it is. It's out there. Do with it what you want to do with it. Amen? That's what's so neat about God. He made us with the power of a wheel that we could choose what we want to do and what we don't want to do. But yet, if you read the Word of God, He'll tell you what would be best for you. Huh? And then we get to choose if we want to go that route or our route. Right? And I think starting out in 2019, we're to say, God, I want to make the right choices this year. I want to make the right choice concerning my own life, my own health, my own self personally. But I want to make the right choice concerning my family and all the other endeavors that I'm apt to do in 2019. I want it to be choices that you have for me. I want to make the right choices. So he went and he dipped. And guess what? He was clean. And he returned to the man of God. Wasn't he mad at him? I said, was he mad at him? He was furious at him. He was mad because of what he told him. And he didn't have the gall to come out and personally tell him. So he was mad at the man of God. And notice what he said. He returned to the man of God. And all his days. Listen to me. Obedience literally changes your attitude. When you're obeying God, it changes your attitude. Did it change his attitude? He went and dipped 7 times in the River Jordan, come up, his flesh was clean and totally healed and totally healthy. And what did he do? When God healed him and delivered him, what did he do? He went back to the man of God that he was furious at. I guarantee you, Elisha heard him cussing and everything else when he was walking off that porch. Most people, when they get mad at me, they don't really care what in the world they say when they leave. Huh? But he went back to him, and he and all his aides came and stood before him, and he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. I'm telling you what, he went to give him gifts. But he had to make the right choice. Naaman could have died a leper with the purpose of God given to him. I'm telling you. Of course, if you read the story, Elisha wouldn't take the gifts. Why? Because he said, I didn't hear you. God did this. See, you can't pay for a healing. you can give all your money away and everything else. You ain't gonna buy a healing. Your healing most likely is gonna come through your obedience to the Word of God and obeying God. Huh? I had someone, I prayed for him one time and God healed him, literally healed him. And they gave me some money. He said, I want to pray you for that. Nah, don't pay me for it. I said, I didn't do it. God did it. I said, if you want to put it in the church, that's fine, but I'm not going to take it from you. And so they did that. They put it in the church. The thing about it is, we can't sell healing. Jesus bought it. I said, Jesus purchased it for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. He's done purchased it. He's already said, I'm going to put stripes on my son's back, and through those stripes, you're going to be healed. You're going to be healed, or you are healed. Amen? Praise God. We got a few more minutes. Let's go over to here to, let's go to Luke 5 real quick. I'll close with this story. Because we're talking about choosing right. Make the right choices. Oh, we're going to make good choices this year. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to stay in the New King James. So it was as the multitude pressed about him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. How many knows this is the plan of God right now? He's just going to get a word from God right now. Go out in the deep, let down your nets for a catch. Now listen, notice what Simon said. But he answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. We fished all night. Now listen, you can get into your own reasoning here. You can start saying like Peter and them guys that was with him, his partners in fishing, they were commercial fishermen. That's how they made their living. He could have said, this guy right here is a preacher and he's a carpenter. What does he know about fishing? We done fished all night long and we caught nothing. We just about got all nets all cleaned up for the next fishing trip. We're going to go home and we're going to go to bed because we are sleepy and we're just, listen, I know you said this, but you know, this never happened. And so I don't know if we should go do it or not. That's when people start leaning to their own understanding. But I like old Simon Peter, and I like what the Bible says when it put up here. And when in the next verse he says, we taught all night. Notice what he said. He says, nevertheless, at your word, I just lost word. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. He's making the right choice. The wrong choice would have said, no, we're not going to. Could he not have done it? Let me ask you a question. Could he not have done it? Could he said, no, we're not going out. We're tired. We're not going to do it. You know what Jesus would have done? Got out of the boat and went to his next meeting. Am I right? He would have got out of the boat and went to his next meeting. But see, God had a purpose and a plan for him. And I promise you, Frank, Jesus knew they didn't catch no fish that night. And God's a blesser, and when you loan yourself to Him and you give to Him, God's going to bless you back. What did Peter do? He let him use his boat. If you use my boat to preach from, I want to fill your boat. If you assist in the preaching of the message, I want to fill your boat. And so he said, nevertheless, at your word, we're going to go let down the net. But Jesus actually said, let down the nets. He said, we're going to let down the net. I don't know if he thought, well, I'd rather just mess up one net than a bunch. We done got them all clean. We're just going to be real, we're going to be in the reserves right now, and we're just going to let down one net. So come on, let's go out there. And Jesus probably just smiled and thought, okay, that's what you think. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Their net was breaking. Why? Because he said, what'd he say? Nets. Their net was breaking. I mean, this is more fish than they've ever caught before in their life at one time. It says number of fish, their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So here Peter and them, they finally consented. We're going to go let down the net. Now understand something. Peter and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they were all partners in this fishing business. And listen to me. There's something about when you're hooked up with somebody that loves God and somebody that'll obey God, something's going to happen good for you. And so when they can, listen, here's the deal. They went out and let down a net. The thing started breaking and such as that. What Jesus was actually telling them, bring what all you got and let's go out fishing. Bring both your boats so you can let down the nets. He probably said, guys, y'all stay up here on the bank. I don't know. Peter was most likely the head of the fishing thing. And he probably said, just keep your boats over here and keep your boats here. And we're going to go out there and we're going to let down the net. Jesus said nets. He let him do it. And all of a sudden they start saying, y'all get out here. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Get out here. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And you know, they didn't have these motor boats like we have today. They had to paddle them suckers. So I don't know how much they were paddling to get out there, but they got out there and they filled both the boats till the boats, can you believe this? Till the boats were almost sinking. You know, I've been fishing a lot, but I've never had a problem with trying to keep the boat afloat. Have you? I'd like them kind of fishing trips if we could do it. My grandson and us, we went with Mike. Mike's out there in the hall. And he went fishing, took my son, youngest son with him. And you know, Mike Masters, he's Debbie's better half. He gets out there, and you know, we believe the Bible says we have dominion over the fish. Y'all ever read that in Genesis? Have fish? People say, well, I go fishing, but I never catch anything. That's why. First of all, you say it. Now, have I ever been anywhere that didn't catch anything? Many times. But I always go fishing. We had a guy here who's a 20-year a Marine, about to serve 20 years in the Marines and all. And we was going camping one year with the men, and we went out there, and we was going to this lake where they had all kinds of nice bass and stuff like this. And we said, well, we're going fishing. He looked at us and said, I'm going catching. We said, all right, that's a man to be with. If he's going catching, we going fishing. Huh? Everybody caught fish but him. He's the only one that did not. You know what he said when after the trip was over? He said, I'm going to go fishing with y'all next time. So we was out in that boat, and we was sitting there, and we had threw some jugs out to dinner, and we was fishing with rod and reels, and Mike set out rod and reels, me and Parker set out rod and reels, and we was sitting in front of the boat, and he was in the back of the boat, and Mike threw his rod out there. It wasn't 2 minutes. Mike was sitting there and said, here, fishy, fishy, fishy. And man, all of a sudden, his rod and reel went, wee, and took off. He pulled that sucker in. Now, my grandson, he's eight now, and he was watching this. And so he's sitting there, me and him said, we ain't even got a bite on the front. And Mike pulls it in and puts it up and he throws it out there again. He says, here, fishy, fishy, fishy. Nyee, that thing took off. And all of a sudden, my little grandson started saying, here, fishy, 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 fishy. Here, big fishy, fishy. We wind up catching like a 20-something pounder. And my grandson said, well, I want to go with y'all next time. And so here they are. They went out and did what Jesus, listen to me. If you was in that boat today, Jesus did not say, let's go fishing. Let's go catch. Let's go catch. And so I'm telling you something. He had a choice to make. Listen, and here's what happened. Let's keep on reading. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. You'll catch, not fish for men, you'll catch men. So when they had brought their boats to the land, listen to what they did. They forsook all and followed Jesus. Now they had just caught enough fish to take care of their families for a while. Listen, he could have chose the other way. He could have chose the other way. Am I right? He could have chose not to go out, launch out into the deep. Now, you got to understand, Jesus had a purpose for them three men. They're apostles today. He had a purpose for them three men. But their choice that day was going to determine their destiny. I'm telling you, your choice today will determine your destiny, because what you choose today is going to affect your tomorrow. We need to pray about it, seek God about it, and always follow the Word of God. When God says to do something, really, listen, if God tells us to do something, there's not a whole lot of need to pray about what God tells us to do. We already know to obey the Word of God. Amen? Isn't God good? So this year, you're going to give a lot of opportunity to make choices every day. Every day, every day, every day. Just say, God, what's the right choice? And He'll lead you correctly if you'll listen. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy today. And God, we are grateful that you gave us a will, that we can make right choices, that we can do what's right. So Father, today I just pray for every person in this house today. God, as we enter into this new year and we're very shortly into it, God, I know there was probably a lot of resolutions made. And God, I know that we do many of those because we feel like we need to do certain things like this. But God, I'm going to ask you today, Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you today to reveal to every person in this house your will and plan and purpose for them. What you want for their lives, what you have for them. God, that when they launch out into this new year and they let down their nets, God, when they start pulling those nets in, it's going to be filled with the blessings of God. God, that they will overtake them and they'll overwhelm them with your blessings. God, because you said you've already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. God, you've already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God, you want us to have a good life because you said you came to give us life and give it to us in abundance till it overflows, that it's to the full. You said in Psalms 23 that our cup had run over. So God, I pray for the blessings of God, not just physical blessings, but spiritual blessings to come into our lives as your glory begins to be revealed in us and in our families, in our homes, on our jobs, on our everyday maneuvers, whatever we're doing on a daily basis, that the glory of God goes everywhere we go, that your power will be present in our lives and that your light will shine. What a good God you are. What a mighty God you are. Help us, Holy Spirit, to do what's right.